continuation of what we started some time ago. Joseph, a man in God's redemptive plan. So turn back with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 47. And we read in verse 1. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they are in the land of Goshen." Let's pray. Lord, nothing that we would say would make any sense if your Holy Spirit do not attend to the words that are read and that are spoken. And therefore, we beseech you that your Holy Spirit will work in our lives this evening. As you prepare us for eternity, we pray, O Lord, that you will help us to see the vast difference between the world and heaven, and that you will help us to aim towards eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're coming close to the conclusion of our Old Testament survey in Genesis. I did not plan to do so many studies, but many preachers have done the life of Joseph. As a matter of fact, I have a book with the life of Joseph. People particularly use him because he's a figure of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Joseph is also a figure of the true child of God. And as we are considering Joseph, a man in God's redemptive plan, we will be considering him under the head, Joseph's moral integrity. Joseph's moral integrity. God's redemptive purposes are sovereignly worked out in the lives of families like me and you. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph were individuals out of families. And Moses too, which we will pick up later, who covers the rest of the Old Testament. Moses, it is very interesting that Moses began with his parents, who saw that he was a proper child. And it takes parents to mold children. It doesn't happen by accident. Parents mold their children. So if you are a parent and you are not seeking to mold your child or your children, they will be villains when they grow up. And we should take note of the Word of God when we bring these studies. Jacob arrived in Egypt at 130 years old. As I said, Jacob became saved at 100 years old. He spent 17 years in Egypt and died at 147 years old, obviously. Joseph presented his family, his entire family, to Pharaoh, who gave them a portion of land in Egypt, a portion called Goshen. When all the plagues were hidden in Egypt, Goshen was spared. These are not accidental things that we read in the Bible. They are lessons for us to consider. Pharaoh knew that most of Egypt's prosperity came as a result of Joseph's advice to him. It was really God's advice. He knew that the blessings he received were a result of the God of heaven that Joseph served. And Christians can benefit society when they honor God. Christians can benefit society and their neighborhood and their neighbor when they honor God. These are moral truths that we should listen to. In this chapter, we will be considering Joseph from the standpoint of a believer, a child of God, under the general head, Joseph, and his moral integrity. How he responded to his brethren, how he responded to his father, and how he responded to the king of Egypt, the first civilization in the world, actually. Joseph had every right to repay his brothers. He's second in command. He could have consigned all of them to jail, which he did by signing two of them. But he could have done it to all of them. He had every right to repay his brothers for their heinous act that they committed to him. But amazingly, he responded as a Christian ought to respond. As a brother, he treated them as the Lord treats us. So we make our first head under our subject this evening, Joseph's moral integrity. Our first head is Joseph's integrity in his submission to authority. Joseph's submission in his submission to authority. Verse 1. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, there are in the land of Goshen." Very transparent. Nothing is hidden. A man of integrity. He could have given Pharaoh a half-cocked story, but he opened up and he speak the truth. And it is so different than some of us here in this church. Always a twisted lie. We commonly view Joseph as a figure of the Lord Jesus, and he is, or he was, but we forget Joseph as a historical person like you and I. We must look at both moral and spiritual truths in the Bible. We must not labor on one and neglect the other. We must look at both moral and spiritual qualities in a man. As a man of God, we should show forth both moral and spiritual virtues. Sometimes you chide with men because they are shady in their dealings in the church. Brother Corey, you understand what I'm saying? Don't be like this. Pastor is not a perfect man, but he ain't shady. And some of you know me for years. Is Jackie know me for many years? Longer than Marcel. Joseph, in the context of our study, is not only a type of Jesus Christ, he's a type or a model of the child of God. He's a man of integrity. Power did not go to Joseph's head. He grants the king the honor he deserves by apprising him of his family and their flock and where they were staying. This is accountability. And some of our people don't have any accountability. They take off. They go. You don't know when they're gone, when they're coming back. And you try to drive this integrity in them. They don't want it. Too much. Just spit it out. as though you are telling them something that is very, very hard. And it is. It's impossible without the help of the Holy Spirit to be a man of integrity. Grant the king the honor. You see, Joseph knew Psalm 25, 75, verse 6 and 7. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one, and he setteth up another. Joseph knew that. And you should know it. Joseph did not allow the king to hear from other sources of the arrival of his brethren. And sometimes I hear from other sources about the whereabouts of a church member. As we cover the scriptures, let us cover not only the spiritual, but the moral that ought to be seen in God's people. This is a moral message showing Joseph to be a man of integrity. He's a figure of what a believer ought to be, especially as he relates to authority. We often harp on the spiritual truths of the Bible, and we love that, but we should equally insist on presenting and practicing the moral principles that are taught in the Bible. You couldn't say anything about Jesus, even with his taxes. He didn't have to pay taxes, but he told Peter, go and pay for me and for you. It's a moral principle. Paul said he did not shun to preach the whole counsel of God. Moral, spiritual. God's people operate in different spheres of authority. How you and I respond to authority in and out of orbit of the church, the local church, says much about our Christian integrity. So we see Joseph's integrity in relationship to authority, how he apprised the king about his family, where they were, what they brought. And children, you may be here, and you should listen up. And then we see Joseph's integrity in his relationship to intercessory, verses 2 through 7. Joseph was a man of intercession. We read in verse 2, and he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. Notice who Joseph respected. This is a heathen king. But this is a king with authority. This was a king that God, through providence, put Joseph under. Some commentators say that Joseph took five of his brothers in order that his other brothers would remain with his aged father. As I said, he was 130. This sounds very reasonable, but why five? I never settle for what a commentator say in the Bible, and you shouldn't either. You shouldn't limit yourself to men of the past 200 years ago. You should study the Bible for yourself. Why not six? Why not seven? Well, five is often used as a figure that denotes redemption. You hear me say this over and over. There were five wise virgins. There were five foolish virgins. There may be a deeper meaning behind why God recorded Joseph selecting five of his brothers to bring them before Pharaoh's presence, to intercede, to beg. In the Lord's intercessory prayer, in John 17, Jesus said, "I pray for them," referring to the disciples. "I do not pray for the world, but for them that you have given me out of the world. Thine they are, and they were from the beginning of the world." Joseph brought five before the king. And there's a gospel lesson here as well that I would not really dwell on this evening. But the brothers of Joseph could only come into the presence of Pharaoh because Joseph stood with them. They couldn't go in there by themselves. Joseph stood with them. And it tells me something. You can't go into God's presence. You may think you can. Who gave you the right? You need someone alongside of you. The Paracletos. You need not Joseph, but you need Christ, the Holy Spirit. The one who comes alongside to bring you in the presence of God. We have no merit. Like these ones had no merit. As a matter of fact, they were despicable creatures. They were shepherds. They were despised in the eyes of Pharaoh. But here they are in Pharaoh's presence with Joseph, their brother. The message signifies that no one has the right to approach God without the Savior. Continuing in looking at Joseph's integrity in his intercessory for his brethren, verse 3 says, "And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, What is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." Now Pharaoh, as you know, because I assume that you have read this thoroughly, Pharaoh, the king, was already prepped by Joseph. Joseph told the king who these men were, his brothers. He knew the occupation of Joseph's brethren. And suppose their words had conflicted with what Joseph had already told Pharaoh. They would have been found to be liars. And sometimes we are found to be liars because our words are conflicting what the Lord says about us. Do your words run contrary to what the Bible says? Do you hide the truth? You see, Pharaoh is putting these men to the test by asking them, "What is your occupation?" He knows. But he's putting them to the test. And sometimes somebody comes for an interview, and you already know about them, and you're putting them to the test. You get them enough time, and they hang themselves. Do you hide the truth? Don't hide the truth. Notice what Joseph said in Genesis 46, verses 31 through 34. And I read it. "And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me, and the men are shepherds, for their trade have been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, What is your occupation? That you shall say, Thy servants' trade have been about cattle from our youth, even until now, both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians."
Joseph prepped his brothers and he prepped Pharaoh. Egyptians deplored shepherds and treated them as the offscouring of society. And Joseph knew this. Yet he maintains integrity. And sometimes we go before people and we are ashamed of our employment. We beat all around the bush. Oh, I went to Harvard. Then you know you went to Boys High. Huh? You said. But you know what I'm saying. We do this, you know. We exaggerate. And we lost the job. Because the interviewer does his research. Find out. You can get from in front of me. You know. Like this guy, CT, at church, he said, always used to tell us, when I was working at Memorial Elmira, he went to John Jay. So everybody thinks that this guy was studying law. So we asked him, where's John Jay University? He says, man, you know what John Jay is. He didn't know. Because he never been there. And sometimes we exaggerate our education. You don't have to do that with the Lord. He knows. He knows everything, brother. He knows us. He knows what we do. And that's my point. But Joseph maintained his integrity with his brothers in his intercession. He prepped them so that they would be forthright before the king. Because we cannot adequately pray for someone. We cannot adequately pray for one another when we are withholding the truth. Pastor, you're going away for 10 days. Meanwhile, 18 days gone and you're still away. I mean, I make applications, I'm making them about people in here. Don't think that I'm throwing things up in the air. I'm speaking about people in here that I deal with. Liar, liar, house on fire. We should not think that we can fool God. The Lord already knows what is on our hearts before we approach him. And this is what you're saying. Pharaoh already knew he was testing these boys. These men who were hardbacked old men. But Joseph warned them, don't go in front of the king and lie. You are shepherds. Degrading job. The Bible says that we don't know how to pray. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be numbered. Now you, some of you men, don't want to pray. Find it hard to pray. This verse tells us it is the Holy Spirit that helps us. Curtis ain't no more eloquent than any one of you. It is the Holy Spirit that helps him. Just as the Holy Spirit helps you to pray. The problem with you men is you're not reading the Bible. And you would always have a problem because you're not reading your Bible. If you read your Bible, you would know how to jump up and make intercession like Joseph. Pharaoh knew the business of these men before they could answer because Joseph had already prepped him. And the Holy Spirit already preps the Father. He knows us. Verse 4, they said, moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land we are come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks. For the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. In this verse, Joseph's brothers continues by saying, given their purpose for coming, it is to sojourn. It is not to deepen their stakes in Egypt. It is a picture of the Christian. A lot of us have plans. And sometimes those plans, I hate to tell you, will not materialize. As I often say, a grass may grow up through that window in that house in Aunt Lorraine before you get there, Betty. You may not get it. You don't put your stakes too deep in this world. You're here to sojourn. And these boys, these hardback men, I suppose they were, says, we are here to sojourn. They are within keeping of what God said to Abraham in Genesis 15 and verse 13. Do you not know for sure that your seed, Abraham, shall be in a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years? Joseph's family were covenant children who knew the Bible. They knew the promises, and they rightly said, we're here to sojourn in the land of promise. They were morally and spiritually correct in their words. We have come to sojourn in the land, for your servants have no pasture for their flocks. You see, in this world we live in, we have no pasture. The psalmist said, he lead me into green pastures. Are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, the Lord will lead you into green pastures. And you should know what I am saying when I talk about green pastures, not dry up wells and ponds, green pastures. So be careful when you go and you leave these four walls where you're going. Peter reminded us in his epistle, it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who, without respect of persons, judges according to every man's word, Peter says, pass the time of your sojourning here with fear. 1 Peter 1:17. Verses 5 through 7 goes on. In chapter 47, and Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen, let them dwell. And if thou knowest any man of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. It was a privilege now to be a shepherd. Pharaoh, give them a job. That's why you shouldn't despise your low estate. And Joseph, let me pick up from where I left. Yes. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Verses 5 through 7. But Pharaoh said, the land of Egypt is before you. The best of the land. Make your father and your brethren to dwell, to live, to stay in the land of Goshen. And if you know any men of activity, of similar trade among them, make them rulers over my cattle. You see, Pharaoh is looking out for Egypt and for his own self. He knew what happened before. But how is it that such grace and favor is extended by this heathen man, this heathen dynasty? We must remember the Bible says in Proverbs 21, verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it whether or wherever he wishes. Proverbs 21, verse 1. And that's why we should pray for leaders and men that are in authority. Verse 7 and 8 goes on, and Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Verse 8, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Here Jacob finally admitted his past. And sometimes you and I should remember our past. He said, few and evil were the days of my life. Of course, Jacob is remembering what he did to his brother. He's remembering what he did to Laban. He's remembering all those things he did before he was met by God. And sometimes it is good to remember your past, few and evil. But Joseph here, we're still under intercession. Joseph brought his brethren before the king. Here he brings his father before the king, Pharaoh. Jacob may have been dim in his eyesight, because he was led by Joseph. Joseph is 130 years old. The same principle applies as it was with Joseph's brothers who could see. Jacob could not see. He had to be led to the king. And you and I cannot see. You must be led to the king. And usually it is the preacher who is bringing people to the king, or the ones preaching the Bible. That is their duty. So Joseph is not only a type of Christ, type of the believer. Intercession on behalf of others. This is another time reference where we can know the age of Joseph. Not only we know the age of Jacob, we can know for sure the age of Joseph at this time. If you study the Bible, you'll know. I ain't telling you. Study for yourself. Come back next time and tell me. How old was Joseph when he brought his father to Pharaoh? Go home and study and come back. So we already saw Joseph's integrity and his submission to authority, or the authority in his life. How are you with the authority God has placed in your life? It may be a husband. It may be a boss. It may be your pastor. How is your relationship to that authority? It tells me the kind of person you are, how you treat authority. Look at what Joseph did. Go back over it yourself and see what he did. He was forthright. He was transparent. He interceded for his brothers. His intercessory prayer, we see this. But finally, we come to our last heading. Joseph's integrity with responsibility. And in the last two verses, 10 to 12. Joseph's integrity with given responsibility. Verse 10, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. But the Bible says that the one who blesses is greater than the one being blessed. Melchizedek met Abraham and blessed him. Here Jacob blesses Pharaoh. Whatever happened to Pharaoh the king, only God knows. We don't know. We don't know what happened to this Pharaoh. We know that there was another Pharaoh that came after that didn't know Joseph. But verse 11 and 12 say, and Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession of land in Egypt. You see how important Joseph was in Egypt, that he was able to distribute land. Only God does that. Only God gives gracious gifts. Only Christ gave gracious gifts to his people. In the best of the land Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And by the way, we only get the blessings of God because he has commanded it. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. Again, we see here, brethren, the moral virtue of this man and the integrity of this man, Joseph. He obeyed the fifth commandment, children. He honored his father. You are here. It's good to see your children with you tonight, Nigel. He honored his father. And what we see going on now is terrible. He loved his brethren. And these are qualities of a Christian, a true Christian. He nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. Well, literally, Joseph took care of his family. They're in Egypt. They're in a foreign land. He's taking care of them. But this is a particular calling to the man of God to love his heavenly father. When we love God, we will love our brothers and our sisters. Who dare us come in speaking to people and don't love them? We will seek to nourish them with the bread of the land. This is the calling of God's servants, to nourish the people of God with the bread of the land. Now, don't get me wrong, but some of you will run away and think that you're giving out money or food. I'm not the president. It won't work. If a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. That's the principle in the Bible. And some churches, you see long lines wrap around. Every Tuesday, you see a line wrap around there all the way down to the fruit and vegetable market. And not one, well, I'm going to spend a Saturday this go to church. Everybody playing basketball up on a Saturday and then going to church on a Saturday. War. But Joseph showed integrity with his responsibility, taking care of his father. Joseph's life in Egypt was an influence upon the king and upon the people of Egypt for a period in history. And you can read this in any good history book. But I'm not in a history book. I'm in the Bible. As I said, later another king arose. You want some water? We have a lot of water. Another king arose that did not know Joseph, and you know what happened. So when we get to that, we will discuss it. But you and I can be in the world and have an influence to those around us, or neighbor, whoever. You can have this influence like Joseph. The Bible is not only furnishes us with spiritual truths, but with moral truths that should be applied in our lives as Christians. Joseph's integrity and submission to authority, his integrity in intercession for his brethren, his integrity with given responsibility in nourishing his family. And by the way, today, fathers, you should be nourishing your children spiritually. When last did you sit at that dinner table when you were feasting with the Word of God with your children, when last did you do it? I want to know. When last did you do it? You should nourish them in the things of God. Bring them up in the fear and admonition of God. You do it. Even though they're kicking and screaming, you do it. I did it. As a matter of fact, when Joshua come down there, you know, oh, I just read the Bible yesterday. Read it again today with me. Come. Never know what would happen when they leave home. Man of integrity. You see, in our concluding remarks of our message of God's Word this evening, there are only two points of application that I will make from the context, because the time is going. The first lesson we can learn from our context is the Lord's people should always be a people of integrity. You know, sometimes I might do something and the men might say, well, Pastor, you don't have to do that. You know, yeah, I want to do it. Let me do it. Let me have a clear conscience. If I incur a bill, let me pay for it. I want my conscience to be clear. I don't want to be a bum. I know what my privileges are. But let me be a man of integrity. You make sure that you're a man of integrity. The Lord's people should be people of integrity. No matter our sphere in life, we should have integrity. Joseph had a very high office, second highest office in Egypt. But he was a man of integrity, did him back to Potiphar's house. The man had integrity. Dealing with his brothers, a man of integrity. Here in Genesis 47, he was forthright in apprising his master about his whereabouts. He was transparent. He was not fuzzy like some of us, withholding the truth, only saying so much. Christian. What kind of Christian is that? Might as well be like the rest of the world that I'm used to. If you look for integrity, you look for it in the church. Don't look for it in the world. God's people. Integrity in bringing his brethren to the presence of Pharaoh and his father. Blind, can't see, brought him. Bring the blind, the lame, and the halt before your father. Bring them when you come here on Tuesday night. Forthright, integrity in his responsibility, nourishing his brothers who hated him. Hated him, nourishing them, feeding them. And this is the role of the pastor. He knows that some hates him, yet he nourishes them with the Word of God. He feeds them continually with the Word of God. It's the integrity of a man of God. Doesn't quit. Prepares the same way. Ministers the same way. The Word of God. Because he loves his father. Don't only look for spiritual truths from the Bible. Look for moral truths from the Bible. Second, by way of application, the Lord's people ought to be a separated people. We hear this all the time. We hear it in theory, and yet many are more like the world than they are like the Savior. And many are seeking to be more like the world and they're seeking to be like the Savior. The name Goshen means to draw near. To draw near. They say Goshen was close to Canaan, Brother Depo. It was one of the closest ports to Canaan. To draw near. Hear what they said in verse 4. They said, moreover, unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. Here they're entreating the king, let us dwell in the land of Goshen. Brethren, it was not accident that this place was designated by Pharaoh for the Lord's people. And you and I can be in Egypt, and we can still draw near to God. That's what the word Goshen means. We can be in Egypt. Michelle, you understand what I'm saying? Yes, Pastor. Thank you. Well, tell Presley when you get home. You can be in Egypt and still beseech God, let me draw near to Goshen. I made a reference this morning that some people, as they get older, they get more bewitched by this world. And these are truths, tremendous truths we read in the Bible. They ain't going to see this. And they ain't going to hear it either. And this is the plea of the believer. Let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. Don't take the Bible away from me. Brethren, don't wait till you get in the hospital to ask for a Bible, though. You know, some people wait till you get in the hospital and say, bring the Bible. It's no use to you then. You lose your memory. They will come when we can't read our Bibles. But how much Bible knowledge you and I have stored in your mind, it is that keeps you drawing near to God. Sometimes you don't have a Bible, but you have a memory, hopefully. And it will come back no matter what you have. Brother Mason, you just ought to pray for your wife like you prayed, that they would remember. You know, Sister Norma, and I call her name, is an encouragement. Sister Norma said to us maybe about 10 times, brother, salvation is a wonderful thing, you know, especially if you have it the right way. Whatever she mean by that boy, I don't know. She keeps saying it. What she mean is when you believe the true gospel. She keeps saying it over and over. Salvation is a wonderful thing, especially when you have it the right way, though. We must give thanks. Others you go to is not like that. They're complaining about the staff. Don't get into that conversation when you go to visit sick people. Bring them close to God. Goshen. Try to witness the goodness of God. Yes, things are bad, but God has kept you alive for a reason. You understand? Yes, things are bad when you go into the Ditmas Park. Yes, but God has kept us here for this day to hear the gospel. Another thing too, how much Bible knowledge do we have in our minds as we draw near to God? Or how much do we give to the gospel message as we draw near to God? As we draw near to God, do we stop giving when we get old? I am sure that many in their old age still get a source of income. And I'm going to touch on this. They get a source of income, Brother Curtis, like you and Jeanette. no matter how small it is, but they forget their responsibilities. Joseph didn't. They forget their responsibilities towards the gospel. I would like whatever money that I have, that God has entrusted to me, to be still working in the ministry when I'm dead and gone. I've made preparation. I will make preparations for that. That whatever is left, that children don't go and buy drugs with it, but that it will be used for the furtherance of the gospel. I'm not saying I'll leave money for any church, because you don't know what's going to happen to City View. You just don't know. I ain't no fool. Don't think I'm foolish. No, you laugh, but don't think I'm foolish. But I know where to send my hard-earned money, that it would work for me, Colin, when I'm gone. There's such a thing as a sensible Christian will. Think about it. Instead of leaving it in the hands of these grandchildren that's going to buy a Mercedes Benz with it. And I'm talking sense into you. Moral sense. You can take it or leave it. Joseph. Integrity. Responsible. Causes one to wonder when all the people go like that. Causes me to wonder. Joseph nourished his family in their old age in Goshen. And Christ nourishes his family to the last. It's a peculiar responsibility of men laboring in the ministry, laboring in nourishing the souls of God's people until the end. May God bless you. Let's pray.
Amen.
Lord, we have become dumb to the explaining of your word every time. And we just would have to say, to God be the glory. The great things he have done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. And we thank you, O Lord. Help us today to be men and women of Christian integrity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.